Would you like to be able to start conversations like a pro? Take the Sunday World, your daily dose of what's going on. Do not consume the Sunday World if you're involved in a drug cartel, you're a politician with something to hide, or you've appeared on a reality TV show and care about others' opinions. Consume the Sunday World responsibly. Always read the stories, gossip, and commentary.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
People have become uncomfortable with some of the things Andy Cash was saying. So he got a taxi home, and there he was overheard going into the room where Lisa was watching TV. And there was something about that she didn't have any money and that he shouldn't be there. And then all we learned then afterwards is the mayhem that ensued thereafter. You know, when you're getting hardened judges or referring to what they've heard in court as deeply traumatizing, you know it's bad.
I'm Nicola Tallant, and you're listening to Crime World, a podcast about criminals, drugs, and the sins of the underworld in Ireland and across the globe.
Killer Andy Cash was told no amount of time in jail will justify his actions, as he was given 3 life sentences for the brutal murder of his siblings in Talla in 2022. The Central Criminal Court heard harrowing details about how Cash inflicted hundreds of knife wounds on his sister Lisa and 8-year-old twins Christy and Chelsea. Cash's mother spoke about how her family are living with pain every second of every day since. Today, I'm talking to Eamon Dillon about the triple murder that devastated a family and a community. I'm Niall Donald, and this is Crime World, a podcast from SundayWorld.com. I think the case of Andy Cash and the murder of his 3 siblings is one of the most shocking of many, many years. Andy Cash today received 3 life sentences in the Central Criminal Court. Can you tell us a bit about what happened on the day, Eamon?
Yeah, this goes back to September 2022, and Andrew Cash, then 24, in the early hours of a morning of September the 2nd, I think it was, he killed his sister Lisa, who was 18, and her brothers and sisters, who were twins, Christy and Chelsea Coley, who were 8 years old. And I think it was a taxi driver had dropped him off to his house in Talla, or to the address where the killings happened. I think it was his mother's place. He heard screaming, and then Cash came out and asked him to call 999. And when the Gardaí arrived, he dangled one of the children, who appeared lifeless, from the upstairs window. The Gardaí tried to get in. He managed to resist him, and it wasn't until I think an armed response unit turned up and were able to force entry and subdue him. They found Lisa still alive but badly injured. They couldn't save her, and both Christy and Chelsea were dead.
Yeah.
Were found dead, and they had been stabbed multiple times. Even before we get into what was said in the court case, I remember at the time, it was just the reports that were coming out were horrific. I remember even in newsrooms there was discussions about how much should go into the papers.
Yeah,
and not taken away obviously from the family, but they were talking about some Gardaí who were initially on the scene, were having serious troubles dealing with what they'd witnessed on the night. And it's nothing compared to what their mother, Margaret McDonough, what she has, you know, gone through, and all the other family members. It must be just heart-wrenching. And this, I mean, it's a phrase then that was used in court today. There isn't words to describe. I think one of the judges used it as well, as Margaret, in the family victim impact statement. And it is, it's such an horrific case.
Yeah, I mean, it was described, I think, by the police in court as a scene of carnage. And I mean, it's not, it's clearly not overstating it. I mean, the wounds inflicted on Lisa, I think it was said that there was, Lisa was 18 years old, there were 71 stab and slash wounds she suffered to her face, neck, chest and limbs. Christy suffered 107 sharp injuries, and Chelsea was slashed something like 65 times. So the level of violence is incredibly shocking. I think one of the things when we read the copy as it's coming out today, there's no real explanation is given for what or why it happened. I mean, I think when these cases happen, normally you will hear, you know, the people may make it a plea for insanity, which, of course, if somebody is insane, that evidence can be given and they can be found not guilty by reason of insanity. There was none of that. Plea was entered certainly today. There was very limited, you know, there was no real explanation as far as I can see. There was an apology was issued on behalf of Andy Cash, who said he was very sorry for what had happened. But it's really... you know, it really still remains a mystery of how somebody could do something like that to, you know, absolutely innocent people.
Yeah, the only thing that we kind of know, like it was mentioned in court today, that in the lead up, they basically said alcohol was consumed, and they're at the kind of a 1 year anniversary of another family member who had passed away. And people have become uncomfortable with some of the things Andy Cash was saying. So he got a taxi home. And there he was overheard going into the room where Lisa was watching TV, and there was something about that she didn't have any money and that he shouldn't be there. And then all we learned then afterwards is the mayhem, that the horrific kind of mayhem that ensued that thereafter. And like there is, you know, sometimes in other cases it's possible that, you know, a killer has agreed to plead guilty on the basis that they just plead guilty and say sorry, and any of the reasoning behind it is never aired in court. And we don't know. I mean, there may be nothing behind it as far as we know. And it could have been just, you know, a moment of madness or a moment of evil.
Yeah.
And it's I suppose it was an impossible case to defend. I mean, an insanity defense was probably the only thing.
Yeah.
The defense that could have been proffered, because I mean he was caught at the scene.
Yeah. So he gets three life sentences. How that works in Ireland is, you know, a life sentence is of an indeterminate length. So three life sentences doesn't necessarily mean he spends three times as long in prison as another life sentence prisoner would. However, certainly the fact that he killed three people and got three life sentences will be considered if he was to seek parole or to seek release at some stage. You know, in the family, in the family impact statement, they address the fact that he's obviously going to be spending, you know, however many decades now behind bars. The family's impact statement, which is really, really harrowing, they say, there is no amount of time a person can spend in a jail cell that will justify what has happened to our family. It was not just three lives that were taken from us that day, but six lives. We are no longer the people we were when they were alive, as we died within that day. We do not know how to live in this world without them. It is a struggle we live with every day. So really, really, you know, I think that brings it home. You know, people obviously, if they commit a crime, people want to see them, we as a society want to see them held account. But I think the family are speaking about just the irrecoverable loss that they have suffered.
Yeah, I mean, like Justice McDermott, like, you know, mentioned that it was deeply traumatizing, the evidence that was heard in court. I mean, so, you know, when you're getting, I suppose, hardened judges, in a sense, you know, referring to what they've heard in court as deeply traumatizing, you know it's bad. And again, you know, I suppose he was kind of alluding to the futility of words when he mentioned there was nothing I could do or say today can in any way help that. And his function was simply, you know, having heard the evidence, was to apply the sentence, which in Ireland is mandatory. So, I mean, and just in terms of the technicality of the three life sentences, like he will actually be judged on each of them separately when he goes forward for parole in the future.
Yeah.
So, you know, while he may get a chance of parole for the murder of his sister, Lisa, you know, he stabbed 71 times, the fact that, you know, she was 18, she was an adult, he apologized, he admitted everything, he pleaded guilty early, all that will be taken into account. And, you know, and he would face a chance of getting parole. But then the murder of Chelsea and the murder of Christy will be taken separately. Yeah. And the idea of 101 stab wounds into an 8-year-old, or, you know, is just, and 65 into the little girl and dangling one of them from a window and dropping her, you know, the lifeless body, or who certainly appeared lifeless at the time, that will obviously count against them. So, you know, I think it's one of these ones where it'll be a long, long time, but, you know, before he sees the light of day. I'm pretty sure I'll be retired from as a working journalist. Yeah. There won't be one I'll be doing, I imagine, but, you know, the day he gets out of prison.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, he's not going to be getting out anytime soon, though he is still a young man himself. But I think his mother, Margaret McDonough, the obviously in these cases in Ireland, the family get to give a victim impact statement in court, which is read out and which he will have heard himself. But she did describe, the loss for her, I suppose, in particular. And she says, "Our three innocent children were viciously taken from us, and that was the day the world stopped turning. What is left is our broken family, and every day since has been unbearable. It's been two birthdays, two Christmases, and two of every occasion that we have spent without them. We miss everything about them, hearing their voice, their laughs, the conversations we would have, the games we would play as a family." So, like, it's... to hear that explained, I think is really, really powerful.
Well, it brings it home to anybody with kids. You know, I mean, it's hard to read some of these. I mean, I forget who said it to me, but, you know, when I became a father, and I think another older news editor says, "You'll change the way you look at stories when kids are killed," and it's true. You do. You see it. You see things from a parent's point of view, and it's a difficult thought, I think, to kind of run through your mind when you're thinking, imagine if that was me, how would I be feeling?
Yeah.
And like the victim impact statements, like I think they've only been, it's less than 20 years since that was brought in.
It is.
And I think they're hugely important because, I mean, you used to have these cases where, you know, the only person in the room who didn't have a voice was the victim of a killing.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, a defense lawyer doing their job will, you know, not all the time, but sometimes will either deliberately or accidentally or in the best interest of their clients, you know, attack the victim's reputation.
Yep.
And sometimes, you know, the alleged killer or the person who is eventually convicted will do anything to try and justify what they did. And they will make up all sorts of allegations that are unproved or not true.
And unverifiable.
And unverifiable. And then ultimately ignored by the jury and a judge may or may not take into account, you know, in those cases, you know, that, you know, you deliberately try to sully an innocent person's reputation just to, you know, to try and avoid the blame yourself. So the victim impact statements, I think, were a massive step forward.
They were, because what you used to get would be, and I'm just sort of taking this as a broad example, where, say, if a husband kills a wife and he'll say, "Well, she was having an affair or something, and I lost the head and I killed her." And that would be the final copy as he gets his life sentence. That goes out then on the front of all the papers, and you just hear his explanation. That's what you used to hear. Unless the family wanted to stand out and speak in front of the media, which often they don't want to do for obvious reasons, particularly at that very emotional time. So when the victim impact statements are brought in, it's a controlled way for the family to speak. It is, I think it's still vetted, isn't it? The court looks through it to make sure I think
the judge on both sides, like, you know, get to read through, and if they feel there's an issue, they're basically asked to take it out.
Yeah.
And it happens after the evidence and usually, you know, after the verdict. So, yeah. You know, a jury doesn't hear a victim impact statement. They'll only get to read about it the next day.
No, but what we do hear in this case is then, for example, that you get to hear the words of the family in a very controlled manner in that final bit of copy, because Andy Cash has been up maybe, I looked back there, I think it's 7-8 times. He's been in and out of court for very brief hearings. You know, over the last couple of years, but they're rarely reported or only a side bit of report, but this is the big report of it. And if the family's voice aren't there, you only get one side of the story. So I think it's very important. Look, it's beyond comprehension, really, what that family have been through. And of course, it's impossible to imagine, but I presume it's even more difficult, the fact that it's familicide, as we called, it's murder committed by a family member. I mean, it's you know, that must give rise to all sorts of conflicts and just devastation. So, you know, you have to commend the family for being able to speak so fluently and so clearly, you know.
Yeah, and look, I mean, it's unfortunately, it's not uncommon in Ireland. I mean, cases of familicide happen. I don't know the exact figures, but it's certainly in the 40s or 50s number of cases in the last 20 years. And it's been some fairly high profile ones. And, you know, some family members have become campaigners on the issue in terms of mental health and having access to records. And you often wonder, you know, could things be done differently? But then, I mean, how do you protect somebody, you know, from somebody who's supposed to be protecting them? I mean, and that's, you know, you'd expect an older brother,
yep,
you know, in his 20s to, you know, to mind his 8-year-old, you know, twin brother and sister. You know, expect him to be protective towards an 18-year-old sister.
Absolutely. You think it's human instinct, you know. Anyway, so it's a very sad case, but thanks, Eamon, for coming and talk about it.
Thanks, Niall.
You've been listening to Crime World, a podcast from sundayworld.com. Produced by Ian Mullaney and edited by me, Nicola Tallant. Research assistant is Clodagh Meaney. If you like this show and love true crime, leave us a review. Or why not download the free sundayworld.com app for lots more stories from Ireland and across the globe.
Would you like to be able to start conversations like a pro? Take the Sunday World, your daily dose of what's going on. Do not consume the Sunday World if you're involved in a drug cartel, you're a politician with something to hide, or you've appeared on a reality TV show and care about others' opinions. Consume the Sunday World responsibly. Always read the stories, gossip, and commentary.